for us if you can. Jeremiah 33, verse 2. Let's recap a little bit before we press forward on the gas pedal here this morning. Because in Jeremiah 33, I like it because he says that God says, listen, you call, I'll answer. And we serve a God who wants to answer prayer. Look what he said here. Jeremiah 33, it reads here. Thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish this, the Lord is his name. Verse 3. He goes on to say in verse 3, call to me. Watch what your God says, and I'll answer you. And he says, listen, and we begin to look at that. God says, when you call, I answer. I like that right there. He says, when you pray, I hear. When you pray, I answer. And so what we begin to look at last week is we had to figure out why are our prayers not being answered if we serve a God who says, you call and I answer. Because as we go through life, we're getting too old to not have prayers manifested. I don't have another 10 years, God, to keep waiting on stuff in 5 years. I serve a God who says, watch what he says. He says, when you call, he says, and I will answer you. Call to me and I will answer you. And I believe that we've got to understand, as we looked at last week, that we've got to get past all the things that hinder our prayers. And I gave you a couple of things real quick. I'm just going to recap them. One I gave us last week is that you cannot pray with unbelief. That when you ask, you got to believe that the God you're asking can do what you're asking for. Because we have a lot of people who pray to God, but they have some doubt on the inside about the God that they're talking to. But when you know that the God that you're talking to can do anything, then you will pray with great confidence. No matter what it looks like, you'll have great belief. Never go into prayer wondering, doubting, thinking, can God do it? Because I'm here to tell you, there's nothing you can ask that God can't do. Somebody once said this about prayer. They said, if it can't be did with prayer, it can't be done. Let me say it again. If it can't be did with prayer, it can't be done. And we serve a God who can do anything with prayer. That means anything you need in your life can be done. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care how long it's been. I don't care what doctors have said. When we put prayer to the plow, you got a God that says, when you call, I will answer. And so we looked at number two. We talked about the reflection effect. That many people, one of the things that stopped our prayers last week we looked at was a reflection effect. That meaning that as you grow as a child of God and we mature, that as you begin to talk to God, we looked at Moses and Moses went to God and he began to tell, he began to talk to God and tell on the people to God. He said, God, listen, these people are tripping. And as he began to talk to him, God said, hey, Moses, this is what I want you to do. So when we see the reflection effect, it's when as you mature in your walk with God and you begin to go to pray to God about certain people and situations that you feel have come against you, one of the things you'll begin to discover as you mature in your walk is that God will not talk to you about them, but he'll talk to you about you. He'll begin to tell you about you because when he deals with you, he says, listen, the issue that burden is causing you, if you do this, that'll no longer be a burden to you. And what I've discovered is that as you get older, when you see God dealing with you, many times we'll just stop praying. And you've got to understand that when God deals with you, it's to make you better for the situation. The third thing I gave us was understanding that we have to ask for things that are not flesh driven. You know, a lot of times we ask for stuff, and the Bible says in James 4:3, it talks about how we ask for things amiss, meaning we ask for things that there's no benefit to the kingdom of heaven. We're asking for things because your flesh wants it. We're asking for things, and I gave you a true example, a very true example of how somebody will feel that something should be theirs, and it's a flesh-driven moment. And you're waiting years for God to do something. I said this before, and I'll say it again last week. I used to hear preachers say this, and I thought it was a joke until I started pastoring. And I had someone literally ask me to pray for them about a spouse, and come to find out the person they were asking about was somebody married already. Yeah, I said the same thing. It was quite like, one of the moments. Because here's what it was. That was flesh-driven. And they said, the Lord showed me. I said, the Lord didn't show you that, boo. That was your flesh-driven. And then not only in those situations, but we've got to make sure that when we're asking God for something, it has got to have a benefit to the kingdom of heaven, that it cannot be for flesh reasons, cannot be for selfish reasons. Here's the other thing, is that you've got to understand God's will, that we lack confidence. When you pray, you have confidence. And the more you know of God's will, the more confidence you'll have. Because a lot of times people will approach their prayer life and they have lack of confidence. And here's why. Because you're not sure what I'm asking if God wants it to happen. And a lot of times we don't come to God with boldness and put a demand. Here's what I would do. When you know that God wants your life blessed, you'll put a demand on heaven that my life should be blessed. You won't tippy toe. You won't play around. You'll come to heaven and you'll say, listen, I'm not settling for being broke. I'm not settling for living from paycheck to paycheck. When you pray, you will pray with so much confidence that God is going to begin to turn it around in your life. Just like healing, many people don't know 100%. Does God want this person healed? Does God, listen, the Bible lets us know that God is a healer. His name is Jehovah Rophika. His name is Jehovah Rapha. He is a healer. And many times when the situation looks so bad on the outside, we begin to wonder on the inside, is this God calling them home? Let me tell you something. It never matters what it looks like. What it looks like does not always match the will of God. And you've got to have confidence in your spirit to know when you know the will of God, it doesn't matter what anybody says. When you know the will of God, it doesn't matter what doctor says, what psychiatrist says. When you know what God has for your life, you'll have confidence when you approach the throne room of heaven. Touch your neighbor, say, you got to know the will. And then remember this, that the last one I gave us was opposition. Marriage compassion, that's what it was. That there was compassion in marriage. That we got to understand, this is where it got quiet last week, that a lot of our prayers can be hindered because there's no compassion in marriage. Church, it literally talks about, when we looked at the scripture, that depending on what's going on in your marriage, your prayers can be hindered. It literally said, we looked at that last week. And so we have to understand the power of marriage. God says, listen, if that union between husband and wife represents me and the church. So here's what he says, before I can answer prayers you want here, I need you to get this right. Because God is a God of relationship. And many times we want to skip. I know many people say, me and God deal with everything. But listen, God has put you here to be in relationships. A lot of people say, well, I just go to church. I don't deal with church folk because they're crazy. Here's what I'm going to tell you. They are crazy. Because you're one of us. Amen. Come on, somebody. That's why. But here's the thing. God did not put you here to be about you, him, and the Holy Spirit in a phone booth somewhere. God put you here to connect to people, to have relationships with people, to build with people. And people that get on your nerves actually draw you closer to God to seek his face. Come on, somebody. And so we've got to understand that before God starts answering prayers this way, he wants us to make relationships right this way. And especially between a husband and a wife that represents Christ and the church, he says, if you can't get the metaphor right, how are you going to get the natural thing right? And so we looked at that last week, and the sixth thing was opposition. One of the things you got to understand is when your prayers have been delayed, sometimes we think, God, what did I do? What did I do wrong? We looked at Daniel, that the Bible says, Daniel, when your prayer request was heard the first time, I was sent to answer. But how many know that there was a demonic force that said, I don't want them to get this blessing? And so some of you may have been praying for stuff and you're saying, I did something wrong and you stopped praying. Well, listen, you got to understand it may not have anything to do with you. If it's in the will of God, you're praying with great faith. You got great confidence and you're saying, listen, this thing ain't happening. Let me tell you something. Well, you need to keep praying because you got something that is opposing your family because the enemy does not want your prayers answered. The enemy is the only one when you're praying the will of God. He's the only one who does not want your prayers to be answered. And anytime you see that there is something going forth, that's not the time to stop praying. That's the time to put your head to the ground and keep on plowing until that enemy breaks off your life and that opposition begins to break. Because the longer you pray and you stay consistent, the doors will begin to open in your life. And so I want to move forward with this morning because I want to not talk about, prayer stompers. I want to talk about prayer breakers. I want to talk about prayers that break things. Because here's what I like. I'm excited this morning because when we look at this, church, I like this. Because one of the things we understand about prayer is that many times we pray thinking prayer is going to keep us out of trouble. And one thing I've discovered is it can do that, but it doesn't 100% proof our life from not being in trouble. But what prayer will do, it will, see, because the Bible says he won't put more on you than you can handle. And that's what your prayers will do. But here's what your prayers will do. They'll keep you from being troubled while you're in trouble. Let me come help say that again. When you pray and you find yourself in trouble, not all the time will your prayer keep you out of trouble, but your prayers will keep you from being troubled while you're in trouble. And man, that's one of the things I can testify is if God didn't keep me out of it, he kept me in it. Come on, somebody. If he didn't keep me out of it, he kept me while I was in trouble. And it's because my prayer life was there. And so this morning, I want to talk and begin to really understand about prayer breakers. Everybody say prayer breakers. Because when we look here at the book of Acts, I really think this text and many other texts should cause us to begin to want to pray like never before. When we look and begin to understand, you know, literally the power of what prayer does. Go over to Acts chapter 12. Let me teach this for a minute before I get real happy this morning. Because when God says he answers prayer, there you got to understand he doesn't just answer prayer. But sometimes God answers prayer mightily. And there's many things in Scripture that show us about prayer life. And when you look at it, it should get you excited about prayer. This is a familiar text over in Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Look what the Bible says here. It says, Peter was therefore kept in prison. But watch what it says. Somebody say constant prayer. Was offered to God for him by the church. I like this. So here he is bound up. And when we fast forward to verse 13, the Bible lets us know they begin to pray in verse 5 for him while he's in prison. They continue to pray all the way to verse 13. If you could put that up there for us, please. In verse 13, they're actually in the house praying for Peter. And while they're praying for Peter, watch what happened. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhonda came to answer. Next verse. Watch what it says here. And when she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate. But it ran and announced and stood that Peter stood before the gate. Let me rewind. Let me make sure you see this. That they're praying in the house for Peter in verse 5. He's in prison, locked up, bound in verse 5. They're still praying all the way through verse 13, and Peter knocks at the door while they're praying. Let me say it again. You might have missed me when I was over here. He was in a prison jail cell in verse 5. They begin to pray in verse 5. All the way through verse 13, they're still praying for Peter, and Peter knocks at the door. See, that's the kind of God you got to understand. He still answers that way. That while you're praying, I believe God can answer at the door for the thing you've been praying for. And you got to have that faith to understand, church. That's not just a Bible myth. That's a story. That's something that happened that should encourage you that while you're praying, you should have an expectation before I get to the benediction of my prayer and say amen, that God can open up the door. If I'm praying for somebody in my life to come back into my life, a child, a family member, by the time I get done with amen, I'm going to get a text. I'm going to get a call that somebody is coming back into my life. I've seen people literally say, this is no joke. I've seen a multitude of times. People say, hey, pastor, after prayer, they catch me. They say, can you pray with me about this job? And by the time they got home from Sunday morning, they got a call that while we were praying right here, they checked their message. And the very job they were believing for didn't call them on a Monday, but called them on a Sunday and said, the job is yours because you serve a God who can answer prayer right now and right now. And we have got to understand the power of prayer. Prayer was not just put in place just to tickle your toes. Prayer was put in place that you should see things shift in your life. And not just shift, but shift mightily. But we've become so watered down that we pray these little, you know, lay me down to sleep. Pray my soul to keep. Maybe God will. Maybe God won't. The devil is a lie. You got to have an expectation that when you're standing at the altar on communion, or you're standing at the altar, or you're praying in your car, or you're praying at your house, by the time I wake up in the morning, I'll be cancer free. By the time I wake up in the morning, sugar diabetes is gone. You got to have faith like that. The Bible says, Peter came knocking at the door. She was so shocked, she shut the door and ran back in the house. And she said, hey, we're Peter at the door. And see, I believe that many of you will have that in your life. Things you're praying for, you're going to come running in here saying, well, I was praying at the altar. It happened on the outside. I got a word from somebody when I got home, that thing I was believing for, it happened. You know what? I just got a report back from the doctor. That thing is gone in my body. I just got a report back that bankruptcy has been eradicated. I just got a report back that everything in my child's life is, everything is okay. I just got a report back that my son or child just got out of jail. I remember, some of you guys remember, I think it was a few years ago, woman of God, she's still here. She know what I'm talking about. We've been praying for her son. Her son came home out of jail. There, you are right there, huh? Am I lying to everybody? You didn't even know he was coming home, did you? Didn't even know. And if you don't thank God while she praying, he show up at the house out of jail. You think that's just a Bible story? Her son was locked up. He was locked up. I'm not going to say the charges, but they were heavy charges. We didn't know if he was getting out, going to get life, maybe get death. But God opened up the door. And the same way he did it for Peter, he did it for her. And the same way he did it for her, he'll do it for you.
Slap your neighbor and say, he going to do it for me. He going to do it for me.
And when we see this, we should be encouraged. We don't sit back on prayer. No, 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 no. You don't sit back and just pray, lay me down. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. The devil is a lie. You got to step up and believe God's ready to do it. Somebody say, won't he do it? Won't he do it?